Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Jinx and Tonic by Gina LaManna, narrated by Wendy Tremont King. Only at the end do you realize the power of the dark side. Star Wars. Chapter 1.
What do you think?
Ranger X stared at himself in the mirror, his brow furrowed in concentration.
Be honest.
I love it, I said, clapping my hands. Definitely the winner. Can we pretty please agree that this suit is perfect?
No,
Ranger X roared. He tugged on his shirt sleeves.
It doesn't fit right.
Spin around. I made a twirling motion with my finger. Let me see the back. X shot me a skeptical glance. Then he did as he was told, rotating in a slow circle and gracing me with a 360-degree view of his body. It didn't disappoint. If I could whistle, I would, I said. Unfortunately, that's not one of my skills, but you look great. What's wrong with this one?
It's something about this.
He wrestled with the bow tie strapped across his neck, light blue with polka dots.
It's not very intimidating.
You're going for a welcoming look. I paced around the room, trying to keep my patience. If there had been any space left on my bed whatsoever, I would have plopped down and relaxed hours ago. As it was, there were enough suits on my comforter to outfit a bridal party. It's the first public trial. You're allowed to look likable instead of scary for once.
My normal look is scary?
He raised his eyebrow at me in the mirror.
I like scary. Let's stick with scary.
I tried not to laugh and failed miserably. Fine, you're right. Lose the bow tie. Ranger X ripped off the bow tie, threw it out the window, and let out an incredible sigh of relief.
This is ridiculous.
Take a break. I stopped my pacing, moving a few steps closer to him. I let my hands rest on his shoulders, frowning at the tension in his muscles. You look good in everything. Just pick something.
I'm sorry.
The annoyance in Ranger X's face slipped away as his eyes fell on me.
I appreciate your patience. I don't know what's come over me.
My eyebrows shot up. Believe me, watching you change clothes has not been a hardship. But next time you put on a fashion show, let's stick to 3 costumes instead of 9,000,008.
It's not a fashion show.
It's sort of a fashion show.
It's not,
he broke off, winced at the bed laden with suits, and frowned.
I'm putting on a fashion show. What's wrong with me?
You're tense. I let my hands skim over his chest, pretending to smooth down his clothes. You're cute when you're tense, you know that? The rest of his discomfort vanished, replaced by a gleam dancing in his eyes.
You don't say.
I stood on my tiptoes, leaned in close, and allowed my body to do the talking. Pressing a light kiss to his lips, I let it linger until the frustration left his shoulders, his arms sliding around my waist as he kissed me back. My hands slipped into his hair, massively disheveled after all the discarded outfits. He sighed at my touch, deepening the kiss until eventually we were forced to step apart, breathless. X's fingers skimmed down my arms until he reached my wrists. He hooked his hands in mine, then in a single motion, he swiped all the clothes from the bed, sending them tumbling to the floor. We don't have time, I started.
I need to rest, he said with a passive expression. That's all. We have time for a rest.
I doubted his intentions, but I went along with them anyway. As I curled against his warmth on the comforter, he stretched his arm over my shoulder, and we lay together in silence. You've already been running the trials for weeks. There's nothing different about today than any other day, except a few extra people will be watching.
months. What? We've been watching, analyzing, testing the candidates for months. A uniqueness can take years to surface.
Exactly. This public trial hardly matters at all. I gave him my biggest smile. And neither does the suit you wear to it. Just pretend you're getting dressed for a party.
I don't like parties. Ranger X growled before he caught himself and fought back the annoyed expression for a more patient one. And it's still a trial, even if it's mostly for show. How the candidates handle themselves in front of a large audience is part of their overall rating.
Fine, I said. Then there's only one solution.
Ranger X's expression reminded me of a lion that hadn't been fed in weeks. Is that right?
Go naked!
It took a moment for the joke to sink in, and when it did, he raised an eyebrow. That's your solution?
If nothing fits properly, then I see no other choice. I shook my head in mock severity. In fact, I insist you remove your suit this very instant.
He leaned toward me, his large form an intimidating wall of muscle. He raised a gentle finger to my chin and tipped my mouth upward until his lips were an inch from mine. You always know what to say. What would I do without you?
I had a sarcastic response all lined up and ready to go, but the way his black eyes glimmered as they looked into mine wiped all of my breath away.
He leaned in, pressed a kiss to my forehead.
I know you're stressed about this whole thing. The trials are intense, the rules are changing. The faction, well, it doesn't matter, I said. Just so long as you're sure about me and I'm sure about you, everything else will work out.
He moved his kiss from my forehead to my lips, lingering there. Some days, he whispered, you're the only thing in this world of which I'm sure.
Chapter 2. An hour later, we'd procrastinated until we couldn't procrastinate any longer. Unfortunately, we were no closer to deciding on a suit for X, even though he had needed to be out the door 5 minutes ago. I fiddled with the heart locket around my neck, a gift from my mother. While I'd had half of it my entire life, the second piece had been passed down to me from my aunts on the day I'd found out that I was a witch.
I feel like a professor, he said, shaking his head. I'm a ranger. I'm not an idiot with a bow tie. Rangers are tough and...
Yeah, you're all burly and manly and all of that jazz. I pursed my lips. But you still need clothes over your body.
Then you pick. What about this one?
Pasting a smile on my face as he turned around, I gave him the hugest thumbs up I could muster. It's perfect. Then again, he'd looked perfect in everything, and this suit was no exception. In fact, it was the very first one he'd tried on 3 hours ago. If he'd selected it then, we would have been spared a lot of time and energy. But no, he'd thrown it on the floor because it looked too stuffy. It was probably all my fault. I'd let X borrow my self-populating closet, a spell that, when performed correctly, provided a girl with enough options to dress in a different outfit every day of her life. Unfortunately, it had the unforeseen side effect of freezing Ranger X with indecision. While X had been busy preparing for the trials, I'd been busy studying. I had taken full advantage of his extended absences to put my head down, study with Gus, and earn the mixology title bestowed upon me. The closet was just one example of how far I'd come. A styling spell wasn't the hardest tool to master, but to make it function properly for a third party was tricky. I'd tried it on Poppy, my bright, bubbly cousin, and she'd strutted out dressed like a peacock and clucking like a chicken. I'd run a few more tests before offering to try the spell out for X. I didn't think he'd be amused if it malfunctioned on the morning of his big day. However, when I'd managed to make it work successfully last week, even Gus had been pleased.
How is Zin feeling? Ranger X had refrained from asking about her since the public trials had begun. To be fair, he had limited his interactions with all candidates to avoid any illusion of bias. "She's..." I trailed off as a noise filtering through the open window drew my attention away from the conversation. I looked outside, sighing, as I caught sight of my cousin. "I suppose you can see for yourself how she's feeling."
"Oh, no."
Ranger X joined me at the window. He pulled me into a hug and rested his hands over my stomach, his chin on my shoulder.
"That's not good."
Zin paced outside the bungalow. Her angular features were even sharper than normal, gaunt, as if she'd lost weight from the stress. Though she was completely human at the moment, the grumbles coming from her throat sounded distinctly animal. I wondered if her uniqueness, the very thing that would make her stand out from the other candidates, had been unearthed yet. Was it her ability to shift into a jaguar, or something else entirely? Her short bob cut against her chin, her dark eyes flashing with a glimmer of gold. From head to toe, she'd dressed in poisonous black clothing. Everything about her was dark, except for her mumbled words, which sounded like a very colorful array of expletives. I raised my window and stuck my head out. "Zin, are you okay?" I called. "You're growling." She looked up, her eyes clouding into a storm of nerves, worry, stress. Instead of answering, she frowned, glared at the two of us, and stomped away. I turned to Ranger X and shrugged. "She's been on edge lately."
"I can see that."
"It's just a lot, you know. She's been training for this all of her life. She might be the first female ranger. That's a huge opportunity, but also a huge burden. All eyes will be on her."
"I know. She can handle it, Lily. Trust your cousin."
I sighed. It was a day full of hope and a day full of terror. Change was hard, and the trials were no exception. "Good luck today," I said, resting my head against his chest. "You'll do great. I'll walk over with you if you'd like." He stroked a hand through my hair, and I felt him nod. Before he could respond, the comm device around his wrist vibrated, signaling a private message.
"I'm sorry."
He pulled his hand out of my hair, brushed a kiss against my neck, and stepped back from our embrace.
"I have to take this."
"Of course. You stay here. I'm going to check on Gus. Come down when you're ready." Ranger X dove into his conversation before I left, his voice rumbling through the room as I closed the door. I hurried downstairs as fast as my heels would carry me. As this was a highly anticipated event, there was more hoopla scheduled than ever. Ceremonies, fancy clothes and dinners, awards and celebrations. Even the spectators dressed up. My cousins had kindly informed me that flip-flops were a no-go, so I dressed in formal wear for the occasion. To top it off, the trials would culminate in a grand ball, a masquerade-type event with gowns and tiaras and gloves. Very fancy, very exciting, very dramatic. The aisle had positively lit up with gossip and festivities the last few weeks, spreading enthusiasm from shore to shore. For now, I kept things simple with a spaghetti strap black dress that landed just above my knees and a pastel pink shawl draped across my shoulders for a pop of color. I topped off the outfit with a set of new booties borrowed from Poppy. "Gus," I said, reaching the ground level of the bungalow, "you look nice." He glowered at me, looking up from his seat at the table in the middle of the storeroom.
"No, I don't."
He turned his attention back to the knife in his hand. The tip was jagged as broken glass and looked just as sharp, even from a distance. His fingers moved in quick, dangerous motions as he sliced through an exotic fruit on the table. I had no clue what he was making, and he didn't offer any explanation. Though Gus could never, would never, be the mixologist, He was the most knowledgeable person on the isle when it came to ingredients and potions. I'd been learning just as fast as I could, but it was hard to keep up. A few months on the isle didn't compare to a lifetime of Gus's experience. He lived in the storeroom, adored it. Every row, every shelf, every column. Jars and vials, filled to bursting with bright liquids and shimmering gases, adorned the walls. Flower petals and herbs, stuffed into glass canisters, had been slotted carefully into every available nook and cranny. The room felt alive, filled with the ghosts of hundreds and thousands of formerly growing, breathing plants. "What are you making?" I sat down next to him, the small patterns of cut vines and leaves, a good distraction from Ranger X's murmurings upstairs. "I'd love to help."
"None of your business."
"It is my business. I'm the mixologist. I should be learning from you." Gus threw his hands up in the air.
"Fine, then help."
I reached over, pulled The Magic of Mixology, my beloved spellbook, close enough to read. The book was open to a page titled, "Spells for the Lost." "Did you lose something?" Gus's face reddened.
"No."
"Then why are you making this potion?"
"I'm lost, okay? I'm not looking for anything."
"Is that right?" I ran my finger over the list of ingredients, trying to memorize the potion. "Well, where are you trying to go?"
"Nowhere."
"Sorry, I don't follow."
"It's not a destination. I'm lost, completely clueless on how to use this stupid thing."
Gus threw a bow tie in my direction. It landed on the table with a light puff of fabric against wood.
"Stupid dress code."
I hid a laugh, recognizing the bow tie as the very same one Ranger X had tossed out my bedroom window an hour before. Picking up the fabric, I easily adjusted it and leaned over Gus. I paused, my hands an inch away from his neck. "May I?" He gestured to go ahead, although the look on his face was one of excruciating pain. "Where'd you get your tie?" I asked, keeping my expression neutral, knowing full well he'd picked it up off the ground and recycled it. My voice chirped innocently through the silent storeroom. I patted the polka-dotted bow tie into place. "It's very lovely."
"The stupid thing fell from the sky. Mimsy told me I had to wear one, or I couldn't sit with her, so I took it as a sign."
"That Mimsy is full of tough love, huh? It won't kill you to wear a bow tie for her, you know."
"Who said anything about love?"
Gus sliced the fruit faster, so fast he nearly cut off his fingers.
"Speaking of, where's your boy toy?"
"X is not a boy toy. We're dating, that's all." Gus rolled his eyes. I stood up and rested my hands on the table. "Let's call a truce. I'll leave your love life alone if you leave mine alone. Now put your potion stuff away and let's get going. Mimsy and Poppy are going to meet us and they won't be happy if we're late." Footsteps sounded on the stairs, sparing us any further conversation. However, when Ranger X stormed into the room, I had a whole new reason to worry. X's face was dark and volatile, his pupils dilated. He hardly glanced my way as he swept through the room like a thunderstorm. My heart pounded. "Is everything okay?" He turned an unreadable expression toward me.
"Let's go, now."
I scurried behind him. Gus followed, locking up the bungalow. The three of us left the pink and purple beach house behind, in silence, since Ranger X clearly was not in the mood for small talk. Gus shot me a glance, but I raised my shoulders in confusion. X's legs carried him much faster than either Gus or I could move, and eventually I had to shout for him to wait up. He turned around at the sound of my voice.
"Sorry, I was preoccupied."
"What was the com about?" I asked, slightly out of breath as I jogged toward him. "What's wrong?"
"There's been an escape," Ranger X said after a long pause.
One of the most dangerous criminals on the Isle broke free from prison 20 minutes ago. The day of the first public trial. He shook his head. I don't like it. This isn't a coincidence.
You said security will be tight at the trials. Surely nobody would try anything on the first day.
His eyes roved over me, stern, even a little sad, and he shook his head. You don't understand, Lily. All of the security in the world can't protect us from her.
Chapter 3. I didn't have long to wonder about who Ranger X meant by her before we were off again. Retreating into his own thoughts, X picked up the pace, leaving Gus and me struggling to keep close to his heels as we crossed the aisle to the arena. Normally, the white sand beaches glistened like diamonds, the sky a cotton candy blue, the clouds fluffy and bright. Today, a dark haze hung low over the tide. The salty air had a bitter taste to it, and for the first time in a long while, the lake breeze sent shivers across my skin. When we arrived, Gus clomped through the masses of folks, witches and wizards, fairies and elves, pixies, and even a few companions, to find Mimsy.
Lily, wait. Ranger X reached out and grasped my wrist as I turned to follow Gus. I need to talk to you.
I paused. I know you're busy. I'll just join my family for now.
I'm sorry.
His apology was heavy.
I'm sorry I can't tell you any more information. I don't know much more than I've already said, and I'm...
He trailed off, and I could see the physical signs of stress. Under his dark, ruffled hair were eyes that lacked their typical light. Even when he forced a smile, it looked tired and weak, nearly breaking my heart. You don't need to apologize for anything. I rested my fingertips against his cheek and brought him closer. I understand. He swept his lips across mine, sending tingles through my body.
There's one more thing. I've assigned a companion to sit in your box, and that is final. I wish I could be next to you, but since I can't, this is the next best option.
I don't need a companion. My entire family will be there.
He'll be watching over you, and it's his job. I'm sorry. Until I can explain about the prisoner, I need you protected.
What about you? He frowned.
What about me?
Your safety.
His jaw tightened. Let her come for me.
But
I need to address the candidates.
He pulled me in hard, fast, and held me as if he'd never let go. My fingers grasped at his suit, squeezing tight.
But first, there's one more thing.
What is it?
This is why I didn't want to change the rules,
he said, letting go of me. He moved a foot away, a foot too far.
I have half a mind to cancel the trials and bring you home with me. For good. That option would never have crossed my mind if I hadn't fallen for you.
You can't let this, whoever it is, win, I said, my voice cracking. I felt empty without his body against mine. Fear or evil, or whatever you want to call it, if you cancel the trials, she'll win.
He looked down at his feet and cleared his throat. I have to go.
Everything will be okay, I said as he turned to walk away. I promise. The Isle needs to see you and your team more than ever. We need to see people who love this island enough to dedicate their lives to protecting it. With everything that's been going on lately, this is a bright spot, a ray of hope. Without looking back, Ranger X nodded and then stepped onto the stage. Chapter 4. Still a bit shaken from Ranger X's words, I took my time locating the special box seats reserved for families and close friends of the candidates.
There she is, Poppy called, waving me over. Right here, Lily.
I joined Mimsy, Poppy, and the rest of the West Isle witches, except for my grandmother, who hadn't yet arrived. I did my best to hide any lingering emotion on my face. Not that it was necessary, since everyone's adrenaline was running high today. The air was filled with nerves, excitement, danger, and most importantly, pride. Pride for the aisle, for the candidates, for a glimpse of light in a darkening world. "I can't believe she's doing it," Mimsy clasped her hands to her face. "Zin, a ranger. Golly gee whiz, that has a nice ring to it."
"Candidate," Trinket said. "She's only a candidate, not a ranger."
I watched as Mimsy glared at her sister. The pair were as opposites could be. If Mimsy was jelly, sweet and mushy and bright, Trinket was the peanut butter at the bottom of the jar, a little bit crusty, sort of old, and sometimes quite dry. Where Trinket was tall and willowy like a cattail, Mimsy sat short and squat and round.
"It's the truth," Trinket said, returning Mimsy's gaze with a stern one of her own. "The trials are challenging. Most candidates never become rangers, and that's just a fact."
I laid a hand on Mimsy's arm before she could respond. Tempers flared easily in this atmosphere. Even Trinket was more on edge than usual. Her face was a little too pale, her lips a little too thin, her hands a little too agitated. And she was the queen of stoicism. "Let it go," I said softly, for Mimsy's ears only. She frowned, but didn't comment. I glanced at the rest of the group. "Anyone caught sight of Zin yet?" "There, there," Poppy pointed behind us. "All of the candidates are arriving on the stage." I turned around to watch the whole extraordinary scene unfold. We were somewhere in the middle of the aisle, somewhat near the forest, most likely enhanced by magic. The arena had seats as high as the eye could see. Closest to the pitch sat an array of boxed-in seats, family names scrawled across the front of each enclosure. The sign plate on our box read, "West Isle Witches." From our primo seats, we could see a raised platform in the center of a grassy field that resembled a football stadium. "Have they announced what will be happening yet?" I squinted, wishing I'd brought binoculars strong enough to see the expression on Ranger X's face. "They don't tell us," Poppy said. "It's a secret until the day of the event. Well, most of the trials are secret, actually, since they happen off stage. The Rangers observe candidates in their daily lives, sometimes before the candidates are even aware they're being considered."
"Times are changing, that's for sure."
The words sounded wise, but they were a little hard to take seriously, coming from the mouth of my pipsqueak grandmother, a feisty old witch named Hetty, who'd worn light-up Z's strapped to her head like antlers. She stepped through the door into the West Isle witch's box and grinned.
"This is the start of a whole new world."
"Hi, Hetty," chorused a handful of voices. I joined in, waving my grandmother up front to an open seat next to me. Hetty poked her way into the box, brushing aside a few of Trinket's other children. All six of them were scrambling for a look at their oldest sister.
"Out of my way, munchkins," Hetty threw a few elbows. "I've got a granddaughter to watch."
The kids groaned, but they parted to allow their grandmother passage. Hetty, with gray hair marching across her head in curly little rows, was barely a head taller than any of the children. She was known to tweak noses and tug ears if the children didn't move fast enough. For this occasion, she'd worn a particularly glamorous outfit, an all-purple suit with a violet bandana tied across her forehead. The glowing Z's bounced enthusiastically over a glittery plastic headband. Her earrings dangled so low that the bottoms brushed her shoulders, the silvery strands thwacking anyone who dared move too close to her side. "Nice shirt," I said, gesturing to the back of her velvet tracksuit. "Where'd you get it?" Hetty pointed to her back, where the word Zinifred had been printed with diamonds.
"Thrift store?"
"I thought Zin's real name was Zinnia," I asked, raising my eyebrow. "Who is Zinifred?" Trinket let out a long sigh.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?